Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 1:03 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is October 8th, and it was a pretty eventful day in stock markets today. You had China opening up after its week-long holiday. Italy's bonds, or the yields, broke out to new recovery highs. Then you've had a fair amount of volatility on Wall Street with some rotation out of technology and into more defensive sectors. Then gold was also a little bit weaker in here, so plenty to talk about. Well, let's kick off with Italy, where the yield popped on the upside. Well, you have the Italian populace starting to agitate for the European elections that are coming up in May of next year. They're hoping for more people sharing their particular views to be elected, and hoping then that that will sway the makeup both of the European Parliament and potentially even the European Commission. Of course, that would also depend on the populist governments gaining traction in national elections, because the European Commission is an appointed body by government rather than a directly elected body by the European Parliament. That's also, of course, one of the primary arguments against the EU, that it is undemocratic. Well, they're unapologetic in Italy about the budget that's been proposed, and that is putting upward pressure on bond yields. And well, when we think about the longer term chart, it's quite obvious that this is a first step above the base, and we've just had a breakout. So in the absence of a clear and sustained move below the trend mean, it does look increasingly likely that we're going to see further yield expansion for Italian debt. Well, that is weighing on European stock markets. The Euro Stoxx index is right back on the lower side of its range. Now, it is oversold in the very short term, primarily due to the fact that it's been pulling back so violently over the last three sessions. But it really is in need of a clear upper dynamic to really confirm support in this area, because it has increasingly got type 3 top formation characteristics. And this is, I think, a clear and present danger now for a number of these European indices, that they have a really quite acute risk to underperform. There is the threat from the refusal of the Italian populist administration to toe the line in terms of the Eurozone's prescribed set of policies. And then you also have the weakness that's going on in China. Well, the Chinese market opened up today after a week-long holiday, and the banking sector pulled back in a rather violent manner. Now, the region that it was previously trading in approximated the region of the trend mean. So this is a confirming resistance in the region of the trend mean. Well, when we look at the fact that they have been cutting the reserve requirement for the major banks, they've done that now four times in the last year, and it's down now to 15.5%. Well, it was over 21% a couple of years ago, and it had been trending higher for years previous to that. Well, every time they cut it, this particular cut added approximately 170 billion to the resources that banks have to lend into the economy. So that is what we might consider to be mildly supportive for markets, but it's nowhere near the kind of shock and awe that's going to be required to really change sentiment towards China right now. The fact of the matter is that the A-share index has been trending lower all year, and there's scant evidence just yet that that downtrend is over. There has still been this progression of lower rally highs. We had some firming ahead of the holiday, but it has so far not been sustained. And we're going to have to see some clear evidence of either a really quite large fiscal stimulus, monetary stimulus, or some clear state sponsorship for the stock market, or investors are likely to continue to evacuate the market. Then you also have to consider that the renminbi looks like it is going to move lower. It's up to, well, the dollar is up to 6.93 right now. There was when we look at the daily chart, this didn't look like anything other than a simple consolidation following what was a pretty accelerated advance for the dollar between July and the middle of August. China needs a weaker currency. It is coming out on the losing side of a trade war where doors to international expansion are closing, and it has got the dual challenges of, on the one hand, the trade war, and on the other hand, of trying to contain the shadow banking sector and what is a domestic economy that's been taking on an enormous amount of debt over the last few years. So there is the realistic possibility that of all the markets that people are really worried about, that it is really China that they should be keeping the closest eye on, because it is in China that we have the clearest evidence of trend deterioration, weakness in the currency, weakness in the banking sector. The monetary authorities have been trying to tighten up on the shadow banking sector. This has got a lot of the characteristics from ahead of the financial crisis in the USA, and the very expensive property prices that you have in China, well, it's not such a big logical leap to think that they are too expensive. So that's, I think, where the epicenter of risk is, and that is also why we're seeing some of the greatest pressure coming to bear on Europe, because Europe exports a lot more to China than the US does. So that's also one of the reasons why Wall Street has been exhibiting relative strength, not least also because of the relative strength of the dollar. Well, the S&P 500 was able to reverse an earlier decline in here today, and it has bounced from the most recent low put in early September. Well, so far, this has been a pretty steady advance, and this low that we saw today is also starting to look like the beginnings potentially of support starting to come in the region of the previous peak. The Dow Jones Industrials was also in positive territory in here today and reversed an earlier decline. This really, at the moment, doesn't look like anything other than some consolidation in the region of the previous peak. But what we are seeing is some pressure coming to bear on the NASDAQ. And it didn't rally to the same extent as the S&P or the Dow off its intraday lows. Well, part of the reason for that is because Amazon has been embroiled in this hacking scandal that China has been engaged in. And that does open up some questions with regard to its cloud infrastructure, and I think investors will be very alert to the clear point that Amazon makes most of its money from its Amazon Web Services division rather than retail. Well, it's really quite overextended relative to the trend mean right now, so this does look like at least a pause in consolidation in the region of this very large psychological $2,000 area. It's also worth considering that the price paused around 500, it paused around 750, 1,000, 1,500, and 2,000. So it's certainly got a propensity to pause around these big psychological levels. It would need to be sustaining a move below the trend mean to really question the integrity of the medium-term advance. Google was in the news today because it did not disclose a potential, well, what they're calling a software glitch, because they didn't find any evidence that someone had used this hole in their social media offering, but it was something that they refused to release to the public back in April and May, because they didn't want to attract any negative connotations from what was happening to Facebook at the time. Well, the share right now is in the region of the trend mean. It has dipped back down into the underlying trading range, and this is it's an inconsistency. When we look at the trend in Google over the course of the last decade, it had a beautiful staircase step sequence advance where you had rallies of approximately $100 followed by consolidations of about $100, and that ended at the beginning of this year where it had a $200 consolidation. Then it broke upwards and appeared to go back into that $100 advance because it encountered resistance around $1,300, but now it has also had another bigger pullback. Well, it needs to hold the region of the trend mean. If it fails here, well, then it won't even have its progression of higher reaction lows. It won't have the condition that it's finding support in the region of the trend mean in which to rely. Then that would be, I think, certainly add an additional risk premium to Alphabet at these levels. So it's at a rather critical juncture. Well, Apple tends to play nicely with the Chinese authorities, and it has no problem with citing its servers in China and sharing information with the Chinese government, and therefore it has, and also because it is one of the USA's champions, it has so far been able to skirt the trade war. Well, the price of the share has been consolidating over the course of the last month, and it has bounced from that $220 area. Well, this is so far just a reasonably similar sized reaction compared to that one that we saw between May and July. And as long as it is holding the region of the trend mean, I think people are likely to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. But what we are starting to see is that utilities, for example, have firmed from the region of the trend mean. And these are clearly a defensive sector. Consumer staples has also steadied from the region of the trend mean in here today. And again, this is quite a defensive sector. When we look at, for example, the better and worst performers in the Nasdaq today, well, Kraft Heinz, Dollar Tree, Pepsi, Starbucks, Costco, and Liberty Global have all been among the better performers, whereas it is the more highly leveraged technology companies have led the declines, not least Tesla and Workday and also Intuitive Surgical. Well, for example, Tesla is now testing its lows that were put in at the beginning of this year, and there is this doesn't look like a particularly bullish environment. That it has now encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean. It has failed around this $300 area, which had previously represented an area of support, and now it's testing its lows. There is significant potential for this to break on the downside. Well, Workday is also another one of these cloud computing type companies, and now it's right in the region of the trend mean. It has dipped back into its underlying trading range. It hasn't, it perhaps has not quite yet broken a midpoint danger line, but it is really not far off it. This is about where, if it is going to find support, well, it would really want to start happening pretty soon. Meanwhile, when we look at, for example, shares like Costco, then it has been engaged in a process of mean reversion, but this is still generally a positive environment. Starbucks, which had pulled back very sharply in the middle of this year, has now been able to push back up into the overhead trading range. It's a failed downside break, and that holds out the prospect that it's going to go right back up above the $60 area, and then we'll see whether it can break on the upside. Disney, which had spent years going sideways, is testing the upper side of its range and was firming again in here today. Then, if we look at, for example, the tobacco sector, Altria Group is back above its trend mean, and that's another failed downside break here. So, we're certainly seeing an uptick in interest in defensive kinds of shares, whereas it is those that have been trading on rather rarefied valuations are starting to see some selling pressure. So we had a pretty sharp decline in Netflix last week, and it was steady in here today, but it has a lot of work to do to really demonstrate that this is support building above the trend mean right now. Well, the U.S. markets were the bond markets were quiet in here today, but the yield is pretty much unchanged, and not least because of the Columbus holiday. But it does look increasingly likely that this breakout is going to be extended. ranges are explosions waiting to happen, and this market had been ranging for just about all year. This is a meaningful advance, and it looks increasingly likely that this 3.25% level is going to be superseded. Well, it was 3.25% was one of the areas where people were looking at for a potential area of resistance. Well, there's not much evidence of resistance coming through just yet. Then this was also a pretty important day for Brazil, where Bolsonaro has almost won in without having to go to a runoff in terms of the presidential election. Well, it's going to be a taut few weeks, and certainly the rhetoric within the Brazilian media is going to amp up with the presidential election in a couple of weeks. But the real has strengthened from that four level. This now looks like a low of at least medium-term significance for the real. And it's right in the region of the trend mean. So if it can strengthen through the trend mean, then the chances are that we've seen the lows for the Brazilian real. Then the Bovespa index is right back testing its highs. We have to look at a longer term chart to really demonstrate just how much it advanced in local currency terms between 2002 and 2008, but it did so much better than that in US dollar terms, simply because the stock market was rallying in tandem with the currency. And that is now also what we have potential for, because we had such an enormous decline in terms of Brazilian assets during the commodity bust. But the prospect of governance beginning to improve and the corruption that has plagued the country for decades being tackled is certainly a big promise. So if that is potentially on the cards, and certainly there's a lot of enthusiasm about it right now, well, that could act as a bullish phenomenon both for the stock market and for the currency. So that, I think, is that really does help to highlight the difference in potential outcomes that we have within the emerging markets. Because China has been growing in importance in terms of its weighting within the emerging markets for much of the last decade, and its weighting is going to be amped up again this month with the reweighting of the MSCI indices. Tencent, for example, is the largest constituent of the MSCI Emerging Markets Index, and it was at another new low in here today, and it is very clearly trending downwards. Well, that's weighing on the emerging markets index, but it's certainly not the only thing that's going on in emerging markets. And what we're seeing in Brazil is potentially a medium-term turnaround. Then when we look at what's going on in India, well, the Nifty was steadier in here today, but it has pulled back very sharply over the last few sessions, and it is now trading below the trend mean. And the Indian rupee remains weak, and it continues to plot new lows. So this is meaningful in terms of the depreciation that we're seeing right now in the rupee. But the key to everything is in the banking sector. And the banks were a little bit steadier in here today, and the pace of the decline has moderated over the last few weeks, but it is not yet over. Well, the RBI is intentionally weighing on the banking sector and trying to get them to clear up their non-performing loans, because India needs a healthy banking sector if it's going to propel the next leg of its development. It has literally millions of young people that are maturing into the workforce every year, and it needs to find jobs for those people. And one of the easiest ways to do that is in an expansion of credit. But that credit has to be expanded in a disciplined manner, or they're going to end up with a bubble. And that is what the central bank is trying to combat right now. And at the same time, you have the consolidation that's going on, within Reliance Industries, but it has demonstrated support in the region of the trend mean in here today. So that potentially suggests that, well, this is also one of the largest sector, excuse me, shares in the index, that we could start to see some support coming through. Tata Consultancy is still a little bit overbought relative to the trend mean, and it does have room in which to consolidate, but it also benefits enormously from the weakness of the rupee. So that represents a rather bullish characteristic or a hedge against currency weakness because of its export orientation. The Japanese market is closed for the Mid-Autumn Festival holiday. It'll open up again on Wednesday. Then when we look at gold prices, well, gold was down in a rather dynamic manner in here today, and it's again back testing the lower side of this range. Within this range, we've had more downward dynamics than upward dynamics, and it really does need to push up and out of the $1,200 area to demonstrate a return to demand dominance. The fact that it has been going sideways without rallying is not especially bullish, and it really is. I think it's going to require a very clear upward dynamic to check the potential for another down leg. That the longer it goes sideways for without rallying, the greater the potential is that it will break on the downside. Silver prices were also down in a reasonably dynamic manner in here today and closed out the day below 1450. Well, there's still a short-term progression of higher reaction lows, but it definitely needs to reverse this decline in here tomorrow, and it's a pretty similar story for platinum, which is remaining to the relative strength leader in these three of the precious metals. It has been consolidating above 800, but it needs to do better than that to really demonstrate we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Now, copper prices have steadied somewhat, and they look pretty similar to the kind of condition that we're getting in platinum, where it has been able to recoup the loss and it has held the break upwards into that overhead trading range. But it needs to hold that 270 area if we're still to conclude that this is a bullish environment. Oil prices have been consolidating over the last couple of days, but they were able to rally well off their lows in here today. I continue to think that the next area of meaningful potential resistance is around the $90 area on Brent crude, and really a sustained move below the trend mean would be required to really question that hypothesis. It does look increasingly likely that oil prices are going to be moving higher from here. Well, when we look at everything that's going on, I think we are getting some rotation within the stock market. I think that China represents the clearest epicenter of potential risk that the European markets are taking some collateral damage from that, and the commodity markets are in a situation where there is also some rotation going on. The soft commodities have been somewhat steadier over the course of the last few sessions, and coffee in particular has been staging a reversion back up towards the mean, but this is the biggest rally we've seen since at least the middle of last year. If it can sustain a move back above this trend mean, well, then we're back in a medium-term demand-dominated environment. But it needs to do more than simply unwind the short-term oversold condition. I do think that if we are in the increasingly in the latter stages of a bull market, that it is cyclical sectors and increasingly defensive sectors that should be doing better. And the fact that you have a significant number of companies that have been doing nothing at all for 2 and 3 and 4 years, that it's within those longer term ranges that we have potential for additional upside. But the bigger picture is that the world is increasingly moving towards a bipolar phenomenon, with China trying to represent a sphere of influence that is going to, I think, probably end up being independent of the USA's sphere of influence. And that does represent a challenge. Well, the Australian market is squarely between the two. It relies on China for a significant part of its export market, and the ASX was down in a pretty dynamic manner in here today. At the same time, it is politically and geopolitically and militarily aligned with the West, so it is in a tight position with regard to this deteriorating relationship with China. And that does represent a challenge, and if the index is going to bounce, well, this is about where, if it's going to bounce, it needs to happen pretty soon. That does represent an additional risk. Then, when you look at, for example, South Africa, well, Ramaphosa still has to tackle significant challenges within the economy, and the bounce that we saw on the rand has petered out. The dollar is bouncing from the 14 area where it had previously encountered resistance, and it does look increasingly likely that the rand is going to weaken additionally from here. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.